Morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome. Good to see Bonnie coming. I'm going to welcome everyone to the Church of Christ in New Lex. Good to have Daryl with us, our speaker, and his wife, Karen. If you will, turn to 396. Oh, how sweet will be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. We please stand for opening prayer.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning, be able to sing hymns and hear a lesson from your word. Be with Daryl as he brings the lesson of the hour to us this morning. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins that we know of are on the prayer list. Be with all of them during the times of their ailments, and so they're brought back to us healthy and be able to see us. Be with all the ones that's possibly away from us traveling, and so they brought back to us safely. Be with us now through the rest of the service. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, the scripture reading comes from Numbers chapter 35. Chapter 35 in verse 9 through 13. That's Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 13. And when the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, and he shall appoint you cities to the cities of refuge for you, and that the slayer may flee, either with killeth any person at unawareness. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from their adventure, that the manslayer dies not until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which he shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge.
Please turn to 331, please. rainbow in the cloud. We'll just sing the first two and last verse, please. First two and last verse. As I journey here mid the toil and tears, there's a rainbow in the cloud. He will safely lead, I must have no fear. There's a rainbow in the cloud. There's a rainbow that is shining. There's a rainbow.
Good morning. Once again, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to be here to present a lesson of God's Word to you folks today. As we begin this lesson, you see it's got a title, The Cities of Refuge. Now, I want to make something perfectly clear to everyone here and to those who may be watching on Facebook or whatever we might be going out over the airways on. This is not a political speech. This has nothing to do politically with anything that's going on within this country today. Now, there may be things that may correlate and seem very similar, but we're going to be bringing a word to you today from the Lord concerning the city, what the Bible refers to as the cities of refuge. Nowadays, we all hear almost every day something mentioned about sanctuary cities in our newscast. Cities where people go to find refuge or safety from law enforcement because of something illegal they have done, or they live there knowing they can do illegal acts within the city limits and not be punished. Sanctuary cities, or cities of refuge as used in the Bible, whichever name you want to use, are given a list of in the Bible. When the children of Israel first came into the land of Canaan, there were 42 cities set aside for the Levites to live in. The Levites were the religious leaders of that day and age. They were the priests, the ones who tended to the tabernacle and then later to the temple. They also, as time went on, were the ones who would have taken care of the synagogues, as we hear mentioned about in the New Testament. And of those 42 cities, there were 6 cities set aside for the children of Israel. 3 on one side of the Jordan, three on the other side of the Jordan. These cities were strictly set up for a particular purpose, and I want us to take time to look at those cities. We had the reading there from the 35th chapter, beginning at verse 9, where the Lord said, you're going to set these cities up. And we want to take a little bit of time to look at the verses, what the Bible says concerning cities of refuge, places that people could go when things had occurred. Verse 15 of Numbers chapter 35. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among you, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. Now notice what it says. These six cities here in Numbers 35, beginning at verse 15, says they are there for a particular purpose. They are for anyone who is an Israelite. We would call them a Jew. They were for anyone who was a sojourner, somebody who was traveling from here to there, perhaps selling things. And also someone, it says, who was just traveling through, a stranger, an alien, or a foreigner. They were there strictly for the purpose of someone who had killed somebody to go to for refuge. Now, I want to stop right there. That was it. That was the whole purpose of the city of refuge. They were not for the purpose of, if you steal something, you can go there and hide from the authorities. That never occurred in the Bible. And there are people, though, today who I have had mentioned to me, well, there are cities mentioned in the Bible where people could escape to. And that's part of the reason for this lesson today. Those cities were not for the common criminal, as we might say it. They were not for anyone who had done anything illegal in any fashion. They were only for the purpose if a person had accidentally killed someone. Someone dies. And the Bible's going to go into specifics here as we look at it. What made the difference between where there was an accidental or a premeditated murder? And we're going to look at those as we go along. Verse 16. Now let me back up to verse 15 and just read the final portion of that. Anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which he could die, and he does die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. If he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, in other words, he's got some kind of stick or a bar or a baseball bat or something in his hand, and he hits somebody, he's a murderer, and that murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood, now the avenger of blood is a term, the King James uses the word revenger of blood. That would be the person who would be the next of kin. The closest to that person, usually speaking of a male, and if it's the male, a father was killed, well, it would be the son. If he had no sons, then it would be a nephew. Someone who was a close of kin would be the avenger of blood. And verse 19 says, the avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. And when he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred or while lying in wait, in other words, an ambush, he hurls something at him so that somebody dies, or in enmity, hatred, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. And the avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. So we're looking at all the different kinds of ways where, so far that we've looked at, where something was done premeditated. We've heard that term in our court systems used quite often. The person planned on killing him. Person planned on killing someone else for some particular reason. They didn't like a person, and that person was put to death. And those are all allowed, the avenger is allowed to put him to death if he meets him. It's a known crime. But that person might escape to the city of refuge. He might go into the city of refuge. And we're going to look here in a minute and see what happens in that case. Continuing on down to verse 22. However, and God knows things happen. So God put in his word. Here's what happens if this occurs. Now, here's what's going to happen if someone does something accidentally. However, if he suddenly pushes him or accidentally, you know, gives him a shove without enmity or throws anything at him without laying in wait, in other words, it was not premeditated, just got disturbed and threw something at somebody, uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him. You know, what, you know, we've all done it when we were kids. We threw something, we didn't see somebody, we wasn't paying attention, and we hit somebody. I didn't see him. Well, this is what the scriptures is talking about. Someone throws something at someone without seeing him, and that person dies. While he was not his enemy or seeking to harm him, then it says this is what happens. That person is to be on trial. You have escaped to the city of refuge. Now let's get a point across here. I want to make sure it's clear. Whether it was accidentally or done on purpose, the avenger, the next of kin, had the right to execute the person who did it. If he finally caught him along the road before he got to the city of refuge, he could put him to death. So they go to the city of refuge. Verse 24. The congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. You're going to find, as we read down through these verses, the person who has committed the crime, whether it was done on purpose or whether it is by accident, they've escaped to the city of refuge. They've gone to the people at the city of refuge. They've explained their case, but they must go back to their home and stand trial. Let's continue to read here. The congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. Verse 25, the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger. In other words, they take the manslayer, the person who did it accidentally, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. He shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the city limits of the city of refuge where he fled, the avenger of blood finds him outside the city limits of the city of refuge, the avenger of blood can kill the manslayer, and he should not be guilty of blood. No, we don't want to restart. Not now. Okay. Our technology works well. Keeps us up to date on what's got to be done. All right, let me continue on down through here. The avenger of blood finds him outside the city limits, where we were reading in verse 27. The avenger of blood kills the manslayer. He shall not be guilty of the blood, because the manslayer should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be a statute of judgments to you throughout your generations and in all your dwellings. So what are we talking about? Let's verse 25 in particular. He's delivered back to the home where the incident occurred. If the manslayer is found innocent, he is then returned back to the city of refuge, or the sanctuary city, as we would use it in this day and age. He would be sent back there. Now, one stipulation, he has to stay there. He has to remain in that city of refuge, according to verse 26 and 27 and 28. He's got to remain within that city and the area of that city. Now, the area of that city encompassed quite a bit. You had the city, which most of their cities in that day and age had walls around them. Outside that first 1,000 feet, was an area that was designated to the Levites, because these six cities, even though they were cities of refuge or sanctuary cities, as we call them today, they were under the control of the Levites. If we was to go back and do a little bit more study, we would find that the first 1,000 feet outside that city was an area for the Levites to grow their crops and their livestock and such like. The next 1,000 feet on out was for the people of the city to be able to have their crops and grow their crops in safety, and it was designated for them. So that manslayer that was found innocent by the congregation, who had been returned to the city of refuge, could stay within that area. He could go outside the city walls, but he couldn't go past that 2,000-foot area. If he did, the avenger could be lying in wait, and the avenger could execute him, even though he had been found innocent. The law said he had to stay within that area. And he had to remain there until the death of the high priest. Now, this could be a good thing or a bad thing for the person who was found, who was a manslayer, who had not been found guilty of murder. He's got to stay there till the high priest dies. Well, if the high priest dies a year later, he's free to go back to his home, to the land that had been given him at the time when the children of Israel came into the Jordan River, and the avenger of blood could not touch him. Now, if the high priest lived for 30 more years, he had to stay in that city for 30 years. So it all depended upon when the high priest died, to when the man who was the manslayer, the man who had been found innocent of murder, could return home. He had to remain in that city till the death of the high priest. Now, to be convicted, let's look at this again. Verse 30. Part of the trial incurred this. Whoever kills a person, now this had to be either the manslayer or the murderer, but in particular, it deals here with the murderer. The murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against the person for the death penalty. You had to have more than one. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, Jesus mentioned this as well. He says, hey, you've got to have two witnesses. When you're going to judge somebody, you got to have two. And if you remember, they had problems getting people to come up against Jesus when he was betrayed and put on trial. They finally had to bribe two people to say that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy in order to put him to death. So that was part of it. Let's go on here into verse 31. Moreover, you will not take a ransom for the life of a murderer. He can't buy his way out. He can't give you, maybe he's rich. He's wealthy. He can't give you money and say, here, I'll give you this money. You let me go ahead and return home. Or just let me go live in the city, a refuge. Scripture says, no, that isn't going to happen. You take no ransom for the life of the murderer who is guilty of death. He shall surely be put to death. Not a question. Scripture doesn't say life in prison. I mean, those are our laws, and we have to abide by the laws. But under the Old Testament law, now remember, we no longer live under Old Testament law, so these laws, these things we're looking at, do not apply to us today. But they did to the Old Testament. But when people tell you, well, there was a city of refuge or a city of sanctuary mentioned in the Bible, you can tell them how it was and what the purpose of it was and what it was for. But let's go on there. You will take no ransom for the life of the murderer who is guilty of death. He shall be put to death. You shall take no ransom for him who fled to his city of refuge, that he may dwell in the land before the death of the priest. In other words, gentleman's found innocent of murder. He's a manslayer, but he's found innocent of murder. So they return him to the city of refuge. He can't buy his way out of the city. He's got to stay there till that death of the high priest. These are all the rules that God had set up for the Old Testament law. So you shall take no ransom for him who fled to the city, that he may return to the land before the death of the high priest. You will not pollute the land where you are of blood, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Now, one other thing sometimes we see, you see this in one of the episodes of MASH. A young man goes to what at that time for them would have been the chow hall, as one fellow describes it, but they're having their Sunday morning service there. And he wants to find sanctuary, claiming that that building, that tent that they were using for worship, was a sanctuary. We had an episode here a few years back in Columbus where a lady sought refuge and was in a church building for over a year claiming sanctuary. Now, again, we do not live under Old Testament law, but this is what the Old Testament law had to say about it. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 2. We're going to look at somebody who did try to take sanctuary in at that time was the temple of God. The Old Testament temple that had been erected by Solomon. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2 and begin at verse 28. The news came to Joab. What news? Well, the news that we find down in verse 26. So I'm going to jump us back down to verse 26 now. And Abiathar, the priest, the king said, go to Anath, to your fields, for you are deserving of death. But I'm not going to put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord before my father David. Now this is King Solomon speaking. And David had given certain instructions to Solomon on what to do when he became king. Those are things for a Bible study of some time. Verse 27, and Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, that he might fulfill the word which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. So Solomon was fulfilling the prophecy, talking about none of Eli's descendants were going to be priests any longer. And when this news came to Joab, verse 28, because Joab had defected to Adoniah, but he had not defected to Absalom. These were rebellious brothers who were trying to take the kingdom away from Solomon. And Joab had gone away from the times of where he had served David, and now and had gone and joined the forces with Adoniah. And when he had heard that this priest had been removed, it says that Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and he took hold of the horns of the altar. He went into the temple. Now, not into the area of the most holy place, but into the outside where the sacrifices would have been made, but it was still within the temple courtyard. And he had gone there. And King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. That's, where they're worshiping at this time. And there he is by the altar. And Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go, strike him down. In other words, go and execute him. So the king has given command to go execute Joab. So Benaiah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus says the Lord, says the king, come out. And Joab says, no, but I will die here. So Benaiah brought word back to the king, thus says Joab, he is answering me. And the king says, do to him as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from the house of my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. Solomon told Benaiah, he says, the tabernacle is not a place of sanctuary. It is not a place that you can go and try to be free. You execute him. And he executed him there at the altar, there in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. So let me ask this question. This was Old Testament time. This was Old Testament examples. We no longer live under Old Testament laws. Let me make that perfectly clear. We no longer live under Old Testament laws. Those laws of the Old Testament cannot be enforced on anyone or any place today. But as we know of Old Testament scriptures, those are there for our example and for our learning, for us to learn from. So where is our city of refuge? Here. You. You are our city of refuge, the people of the Lord's church. This is our refuge, our Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, our sanctuary. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 2, talks about the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest. And our high priest has died. Now, if you remember right, under the Old Testament law, the manslayer, the man who was innocent of murder, had to remain in the sanctuary city or the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. And then he could come and go. Christ, our high priest, has died. We are free to come and go within his word, to live by his word, able to do what he says and what he wants us to. He said to Peter in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, upon Peter's confession, your confession of what? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, upon your confession, I will build my church. And his church, you, the people, me, we all, we are the sanctuary. Where a brother and sister has problems, they're to come to us. They come to us for help. This building is just a building. This building is standing in 100 years, and hopefully the Lord willing, it'll still be a church building. But I know of places down on my grandfather's farm that 100 years ago were houses that people lived in. And now they've got hay sitting in them. They've got cattle sometimes put in them for shelter. They were just buildings. This is building. This is not a sanctuary. You and I are the sanctuary. You and I are the sanctuary. Our Lord and Savior, the high priest, He's the one who has died for our sins, to take away our sins, to give us freedom from our sin. Just as the manslayer was tied because of the death of the person until the high priest died and then he was free, the same thing is true with us. We are tied by our sins until we give our lives to Jesus Christ in baptism. Until we put him on at baptism as our Lord and Savior. And then we are free. We are free for the hymn and for our church to be our sanctuary. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, the writer there says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. That's why we come together. Because we have sanctuary. We can find love. We can find release from our problems with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what the high priest has done for us. He says, "Come unto me. Take my burden. Give your burden to him." He says, "You take my burden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What he will have us to be able to do to get through, oh, there may be times that we find it difficult, but when we follow him, we do his will. We live according to his law. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Will you come? This day, will you come and find refuge and true sanctuary? Will you come and you find that you have safety here with our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and his church? Come, let him take away your sins, put him on in baptism, follow him, do his will, confess him as your Lord and Savior. If there's anyone that needs to respond for any reason, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he left his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, how his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, Turn to 159 and sing his song, Prayer Minds, Take the Lord's Supper. I want to thank Daryl for a fine lesson this morning. Appreciate it. I gave my life for thee. If anyone needs any, please raise your hand. Jim will get it. We all know that on the first day of the week, we do this every Lord's Day because the Bible teaches that. Anyone who may ask this question that's hearing, we have scriptures that tells us in Acts 20, verse 7, up on the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. And that is truly true. And that's why we remember our Lord's death on the first day of the week, to get strength for our soul in the coming week. So without any further remarks, let's go to God in prayer and give God thanks for his Son who died and suffered for our sins, thanking him for this bread. Almighty God, we are so thankful unto you that you've given these emblems to set aside to remember your Son's death each Lord's Day. Not when we want to take it or not when we make laws to take it, but your word says,
upon the first day of the week. What a wonderful blessing to know when to take it. And help us now take this bread, remembering your Son's broken body upon the cross. Help us, God, be strengthened by these emblems and have our minds on the cross and what Christ did for us. It's in his holy name. Please forgive us. In Christ's name, amen. Give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Heavenly Father, we continue to give thanks for the fruit of the vine, representing your Son's precious blood. Again, help this be nourishment to our soul and help us know that without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness for our sins. And only Christ could do this because he was perfect. And we're not perfect, but help us strive to do better and be better examples. Thank you for now for Christ's precious blood. In his name, amen. We also have this time to give back to God. Let's go to God in prayer, please. Our dear God, we are so thankful unto thee for all the blessings of life, physical blessings and the spiritual, most of all in Christ. All spiritual blessings are found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Your word teaches that. God, as we give back, help us give as we've been prospered and give cheerfully and do it in love for the work of the church. Help us always be willing to help others in any way we can. Help us further your kingdom by being here and helping the church do things and each one do our part to help the church grow in number. The church will be here in the future. Thank you, God, for Christ. In his name, amen. Also, announcements. If you will, get a bulletin. A lot in there. Holly's got a lot in here. The Ladies' Day went well yesterday, I think, and Holly done a good job in this. A lot of work in that. And we surely need help from each one here to help in the future. Anything needs done, please be willing to lend a helping hand. It sure is appreciated. And I know that's God's work. And thank Mark for helping yesterday, too. Okay, sick. Ernie's sick this morning. He didn't feel good yesterday. He was here trying to do things, and he didn't feel well. Remember Ernie. Dave said Malcolm Boyd. Anyone knows Malcolm? I remember him. What'd you say, Dave? He's having the kidney. Cancer, yes. And he's had a lot of cancer problems. Malcolm Boyd. I want to thank Marcia. She had a directory doing that. So wonderful. If you get a chance, look at that. A lot of work in that. Thank Marcia for updating our directory. Needed updated. We had a recent baptism last Wednesday. I remember Stella Nethers. And she's 11 years old, I believe, and keep her in your prayers. Anyone have any announcement? Remember, Steve Anderson's going through several things now. I know there's something else I need to say, and I can't remember. I look here. Anyone have anything that needs to be announced? Good to see everyone this morning. Thanks, Daryl, for coming. Karen. If not, Bonnie.
I'd like to thank everybody for sending the wellness card to me.
Yeah, keep Bonnie in your prayers. She's got some lung issues and breathing problems, and she got baptized here a while back, and I want to remember her, and she'll stay strong in the Lord. Yeah, she's really going through a lot. Keep each other in our prayers. Can't think what it was. Anyway, we'll go to God in prayer, and good to see everyone. Have a good week. Tyler?
Good morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today on this first day of the week, thanking you for the opportunity to be able to worship you and sing songs unto you. God, we are thankful for our lesson today from Daryl. Please help us to apply this to our knowledge that we're able to teach others and help your kingdom grow spiritually and numerically. Lord, we ask you to be with those mentioned in our prayer list today, that you're able to guide them and comfort them during their challenging times. We ask you to be with Sister Bonnie as she has upcoming health issues and testing, and be with her during her challenging times. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we go our separate ways. Please be with us. Help us to stay strong in the face of temptation. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.